Oh God and Father, we are so grateful for the precious time that we have had so far. Thank you for the instructions that you have given us, for the exhortation, for the encouragement. Thank you, Father, that there is so much that we can learn from those who are more experienced than those who are young. And thank you that we can work together, young and old. And thank you for the lessons that we have got from the life of Timothy. And we are so grateful how you, Father, are speaking to our lives through the living word, a word that is powerful and that is able to convict our hearts and to touch our hearts and to transform our lives. We are grateful for being able to listen to your voice, and we pray that you give words to our brother Manuel as he is intending to share another message to all of us here. We pray that we might take this personally, that you help us, each one of us, to take each one of these points into our lives, into our daily lives, that these be a living testimony for those who are outside. We are grateful. We are thankful for your many blessings, Father, and we just pray that you continue blessing the rest of the day, tomorrow, our conversations, our time together. And again, we commit this time to you, and we pray for our brother Manuel, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. So I know the last session is always the most difficult one, right? Not because of the subject that we have, the topic that we have, but because we know we are all tired somehow, right? We came just from doing some sports, and we have had a beautiful time together, but yeah. I don't want to talk you to sleep, so I hope we can make it as lively as possible. This last message is "But you, Timothy." So this is a very personal message to each one of us. As that second letter where we have a look at now is very personal, or has been very personal to Timothy. Maybe we give, before we dig into these special exhortations or encouragements that Paul gave to Timothy, a little bit background on what we speak here in the second letter. Most likely, this is the letter, or not most likely, that is the last letter that Paul wrote. And it is, so to speak, his legacy that he now gives to Timothy. And that what he's told Timothy to do, to give it to someone else in the future generation, we will come to that, this is exactly what he is doing right now. I wrote here the only letter from Paul's second imprisonment in Rome in difficult circumstances. I don't have a real proof of that point out of scripture, so it's a kind of assumption that I made, but some of the brothers who have studied about that think that this is the only letter from a second imprisonment. But I don't have any proof out of scripture of that second imprisonment. But the circumstances are quite interesting, because it reminds us a little bit of our circumstances today. The believers have turned away from Paul, right? He says in verse 15 of chapter 1, "This you know, that all those in Asia have turned away from me, among whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes." I hope it's right. So, and we see that he was a very lonely place. At first, maybe in prison, but of course, all the emotional, spiritual support that has been there for a long time for Paul was all of a sudden gone. And Paul writes about that what we already heard yesterday from Craig in chapter 3, "But know this, that in the last day perilous times will come." The decay was already visible, and only a few would be faithful. And I think this also pictures a little bit of our situation today. There is a huge amount of people calling themselves Christians, as we have said, but only a few are only there who really take the word of God serious and want to be his disciples. False teachings got access and accepted by the believers. This is also a point that Timothy had to deal with, that there were always thoughts coming in from different peoples who thought different as the Bible and the teaching of Paul was. And of course, it is a letter that encouraged Timothy to continue to be faithful. Timothy had proven that he was faithful while Paul was there. But now a time would come where Paul would not be there anymore, where he had to stand on his own feet, where he had to fight the battles on by himself. And this is exactly the circumstances that many of us are also facing. We have to face somehow on a battleground in this world where we so often are all by ourselves. Sometimes we have the support, but sometimes we don't have that. But maybe this can be an encouragement for us. So what I did right now is that I took some of these exhortations, encouragements that Paul gave to Timothy, took out of this letter, not all of them, but some of them, out, and we want to consider them briefly. The first one is what he says in verse 6. He says in verse 6 of chapter 1, "Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands." So stir up the gift. We have seen he has received the gift, but now this means the stir up means keep it burning or keep it alive. It is like the kids know that very good, a fire, right? What do you have to do to keep a fire alive, burning, to keep a fire burning? Who knows it? The Levi?
You need to put sticks in it so it's so burnt.
Correct. You need to get wood, right? Some sticks, perfect, to keep it burning. In the same way, you know, we need to keep our gifts burning. We need to put wood to the flame. We need to let it be nourished. This is exactly that. If there is no oxygen, if there is no wood, a fire cannot burn. So we need nourishment for us. But it is also a danger there, because it implies that maybe we could get tired or sluggish, right, of nourishing that gift, of nourishing ourselves with the word of God, as we have seen, and so that the gift might not be burning as it should be. And of course, maybe our fire is not completely extinguished, but only a smoking flax. But then we know that the Lord is not there to, as it says in Isaiah, right, to Isaiah 42, or how it says, sorry, my quote. Isaiah 42, "A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoking flax he will not quench." That's exactly what the Lord's perspective is. But this is also, we have a responsibility on the one hand to keep it burning, and on the other hand, the Lord will keep us up and will not quench even if there is only a smoking flax. And maybe another verse that might be helpful in this context is Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. When we see there that it says that we should look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. When we look to the circumstances, we get easily discouraged. We get easily tired of all that what is around us, right? We just spoke this after lunch. We had just a small talk, and we spoke about all that transgender and all this stuff. And we could give easily up, you know. It's worthless, useless for this world anymore to do anything. But no, it is not. We look unto Jesus and look away from everything else, but look to Him, and this will give us strength and will give us joy to stir up the gift that is in us. Then verse 8 says, do not be ashamed of the testimony. Do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. As you remind, maybe still know, Timothy was a bit fearful. So when we read verse 7, it says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. But of course, even though God has not given us a spirit of fear, sometimes fear of man can overcome us. That we might be scared, what does the other think? What does the other say? Right? And we are so scared that we don't stand up for the Lord. But Timothy, he was encouraged to do so. Right? Be not ashamed of the testimony. You know, and I think this is very true for us. We spoke about that as well and said, you know, what shall I do if my company does support all the pride and flag and everything, right? We just can encourage you, be not ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. He will take care for it. If we stand up for Him, He will take care for it. The Lord honors those that honor Him. And I think this is a very good principle that we need to keep in our hearts, that whenever we want to do something that honors the Lord, we leave all consequences to Him and He will take care of that. But on the other hand, as we were reminded already, we cannot expect to be better treated as the Master. So when they hated the Lord Jesus, then we should know they will hate us as well. We serve a rejected Christ. Still, He's still rejected. And so are we rejected, because we go and stand on His side. But of course, we know as well that He is the great victor, who has won the victory. And we are on His side, on the side of the great victor. And this can encourage us in these days when we have to stand up, when we have to give a testimony. What about you? Are you also supporting this, whatever it might be? No, you know, I'm a Christian. The Bible says so and so. We can't do that. We need to stand up for the truth. No, I'm not quite sure anymore what are the verses here that I gave. So let's look them up in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 25. It says there, the fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. And this is true. We think if we give something up, we would be better safe if we trust in anyone. But no, trusting the Lord is a safe place. That gives us security. And the other one verse is Matthew 10:28. There it says, and do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear Him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. You know, we have always to think, to fear God or to fear man. What is overweight? If we put it on a scale, where is the weight? Where do I tend to give my weight to? If we put it to the Lord, to fear Him, we don't need to worry about anyone else. I think Paul said it to the Galatians. If I'm not mistaken, he said, verse 10, Galatians 1, verse 10, for do I now pursue man or God? Or do I seek to please man? For if I still pleased man, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. So if we seek to please man, we will always fail. If we seek to please the Lord, we will win the victory. The next one is in verse 13 and 14. It says there, hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. And 3 verse 14, it says, but you must continue in the things you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. And this is another very important thing. You know, we can easily give up on fundamentals of our Christian truth and Christian faith. It can be that we sometimes only profess something only with our mouth, but our heart is not convinced about it. That's a danger. Another danger is that we just take this part that we like and those parts we don't like, we neglect or give up. And another thing is that if we are not reminded again and again about the things that we have in Christ Jesus or the fundamentals that we find in Scripture, then it will happen that we forget them, because we are very forgetful people. And then there is another thing, you know, that what our forefathers have already worked hard for, prayed hard for, studied hard for, hours, days, weeks, months, maybe even years to get out of Scripture is now so easily accessible for us in books available. We just need to read them and then it is so clear for us. But brothers have spent time and time and time in order to get that together. And so sometimes I have the impression that we are easily giving up things because we do not appreciate it so much, because the effort it took us to gain it, to get it, to understand it was so easy. If you have, I'm not sure if, I'm not the best handyman, right? So, but when I have done something, a little bit in my garden, we did around our house a little bit garden, as we have done something, I felt the effort of that, right? Digging out the dirt, putting some new things in, some stones and stuff, and it took a lot of effort. So now I appreciate work of that, what other people do. Sometimes we not just need to experience the effort that is connected with the things we have. Maybe sometimes it is too easy for us to access all the good things we have. But we are very grateful that we have the books. So many books where brothers have studied hard to gain and have a good understanding of the word, and we can benefit from it. So we need to appreciate it. And we need to take this and fight for it. There was one guy in the Old Testament, one of my David's mighty men, named Shammah. And he was fighting for what? Just for a little piece of ground of lentils. For what reason was he fighting for that? Because he knew that this piece of land was part of the promised land that God had given them. Only one reason of that. But maybe we should also study a little bit more about the blessings we have. The Ephesians gives us a great picture. Also, assembly matters. Why we gather as we gather. Why we do break the bread as we break the bread. Right? All these things are very important, are precious, and we should not easily give them up. It requires effort, sometimes fighting or perseverance, persistence, to hold on, to hold fast the pattern of sound words. The next thing is that we find in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." And I think this is very important that we realize again and again that everything we do, we can only get through the grace of the Lord. There is nothing that we can do in our own strength. We need grace. But grace is accessible for us in a very easy way, because we can come to the throne of grace, to the God of all grace, who wants to give us the grace that we need, grace upon grace, one grace following the another grace. And this gives inner strength, this gives encouragement, when we realize that this grace works still in this time, in our lives, to enable us to fulfill a ministry that God has given us. So we really can say, even though when we feel weak, and sometimes we have to feel weak, because only then we completely lean on the grace. If I feel myself strong in myself, for what do I need grace? A while ago, I spoke with someone who left the meetings, and they said, "You know what? I'm not sure, but my life is good. You know, I don't get anything out of the Bible when I read it. It is all that I already know. But I don't really get anything. And if I don't read it, I don't miss anything. For what do I need it?" No, we need it. Maybe we feel too strong in ourselves. But when we are weak, we hear the voice of the Lord saying, as he says to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you." Then it says in verse 8, 2 Timothy 2, verse 8, "Remember Jesus Christ raised from among the dead." I think this is one of the most attacked parts of Scripture, his resurrection. But it is also and very important, something that we need to be reminded again and again. You know, it says, remember Jesus Christ. It means, as you sometimes, you know, today, it is very easily that if you search for something, right, and you don't know it, you Google it. But what we need to do as Christians, we don't need to Google, we need to remember the Lord. We need to think about him, about his life, about his death, about his resurrection. We need to look at him in his sufferings. Why? As we have read, that we do not get weary, but are encouraged through his example, that we will get strength out of it. And of course, you know, the person of the Lord Jesus is intact in many ways today. We had once someone coming to our house and told us, you know, the Lord Jesus was only a man. he was not God's son. And we need to stand up and defend the truth that the Lord Jesus is the eternal Son of God. This is so crucial that we understand that we have to occupy ourselves with the person of the Lord Jesus, because he is the center of all attacks of the devil. And of course, we also do that on a Sunday. We remember him. The question is, are we all taking our part on a Sunday morning? Is that something that is so precious for us that we don't want to miss this place to remember the Lord? Or is it something, you know what, we drive and go to holidays and then meeting Sunday, there's nothing close by, so we just skip that. Really? This is how precious the Lord is to us? Should it not be that we look more, where can I remember the Lord? And then maybe find a nice place around that? I think it would be more suitable to put Christ first, right? As we've learned that we want to be disciples, putting Christ first, why not in our holidays? Do we need holidays from the Lord? When he gave everything for us, is it not worth to remember him and to think about him on every possible Sunday in the year? I'm not speaking if someone is sick, we cannot go. That's something completely clear. But if we are able to and choose deliberately something where we cannot go, we need to think if that is really right in the eyes of the Lord. Another verse that speaks to us is in verse 22 of chapter 2. Flee ye also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call the Lord out of a pure heart. You know, here we have again this inward sanctification. Flee on the one hand and pursue on the other hand. But you know what? Sometimes there is a danger in us, because that we outwardly flee but inwardly are not fleeing. Or that we think we could withstand the devil when we should flee. And we want to fight against the temptation that might be there. And on the other hand, when we should fight for the truth, we flee. So there is a danger in that. But may the Lord help us to really flee youthful lusts. When it speaks here of youthful lust, it does not mean mainly sexual immorality, as we might connect that directly with. But it means also impatience, carelessness, pride, and so on. We could continue in all these attitudes that characterize us when we are young. But Paul says, no, don't do that. But we pursue righteousness, practical righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call the Lord out of a pure heart. It is so crucial that we find not only an outward sanctification, but also an inward sanctification. That not only, when someone speaks to me and says, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to whatever, a disco, whatever, right? I'm not going there. But at home, I listen to the music, the same music. Is that an inward sanctification? No. Right? It's almost the same. It's just a different place. But if we haven't got a real conviction about things in our heart, we will do it anyway. Maybe just on a different place. Maybe there where nobody can see us. But this is not discipleship. This is not following the Lord. Having the same mindset as he has, having the same desires, having the same holiness as he has. having the same motives as he has. And pursue means that we put all our energy into that. You know, that we, as we had said last night, there was the question, is it not too limited when I look on discipleship? But here we see that Paul encouraged Timothy and says, put all your energy into that, right? Put it all there and you will see that you will enjoy it. Because it is nothing that God wants us not to enjoy. He wants to give us something that we can enjoy. But it needs, of course, a purpose of heart. It needs a decision inwardly that we commit ourselves to that way and follow the Lord no matter what. The next point is that we already touched it briefly in chapter 4, where Paul says, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. And I've read, and I hope it is true, that the word preaching means proclaiming the king's message. So if there is a herald who speaks of the king's message, he is always aware of from whom this message comes. It comes from the king. And he's always aware that his attitude is according to the king's position. And that he is always conveying, transferring the right word that the king really spoke. Dividing the word of God rightly. Paul encouraged Timothy to preach the word of God. And when? In season and out of season. He was encouraged to not do it whenever he felt suitable, right? When he felt comfortable and was ready to. No, we should always be ready. We should always be in this position to take up a point and preach the word. You know, when we have conversations with the people around us, it was for a long time really something where I struggled, and maybe still do, to get the connection and to point out to the Lord, right? That we transfer smoothly our conversations to the Lord. But then, and this is very encouraging, I just want to say that as an help for you as well, because it helped me so much, I started praying, Lord, give me a hint that I can pick up and guide the conversation more to you. That I'm really ready to take what that person says and guide it in the right direction. Because we don't want to have all day long only conversations about the weather, right? But we want to have them to point out to the Lord. And I think this is something we can do, and it's very encouraging how the Lord opens the eyes and gives us hints and where we can guide smoothly to the Savior or his work at the cross of Calvary. But the question is, are we willing to, right? Are we ashamed of the testimony, or are we not ashamed of the testimony? Are we ready to preach the word? So, as Paul says, be ready in season and out of season. Then in verse 5 of chapter 4 he says, But you be watchful in all things. So, of course, we can say that in one hand, stay away from intoxicating influences. And I mentioned here that might be alcohol. I mentioned here Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. And it says, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. So that could be one point. But of course, today there can be many more points that lead into this direction, that gives us maybe a rush or a hype or whatever, something that fills innerly us and makes us high. There can be drugs, it can also be pornography. And we have to be aware of that this is an addiction or can lead easily to an addiction as soon as we give ourselves to that. But I think it also shows that we should not tend to go into extreme situation, extreme opinions, but always be balanced, right? But of course, dedicated to the Lord, right? But if we are balanced, we will have an understanding for the other one, but we will always stand up for the truth in love. And I think this is a very important attitude that we need in these days. But also, and I think this is another danger, especially when we are young, that we let us be influenced by others. When our friends come and say, oh, you know what, come join us, do this and this. Oh, my father wouldn't allow that. My father wouldn't allow that. Your father doesn't need to know. It's just one time, come with me. You see? And then you go and your heart is pumping. I've done that, I know it. And you go a second time and your heart is pumping. And after the third and the fourth time, your heart is still pumping, but not that much anymore. And then it stops the heart pumping. And you somehow deceive your father and your mother. The ones that are so close to you, the ones that are so caring for you, the ones that love you so much, you deceive so easily. Just because we get influenced by our friends, by friends that might be there. So we need to think about that. Be watchful in all things, right? Maybe better to speak to mom and dad in another time and ask, can I go with them? Maybe there will be occasions where they can allow it and maybe some they won't. But it is always good to be watchful. The last one, it is here in verse 5 at the end, fulfill your ministry. You know, that what Paul is telling Timothy here is whatever might happen around you, look at that what the Lord has given to you. You know, don't compare with others. Don't look what they want to do and what they feel free to do, but look at your ministry, that you are where you of what you are responsible before the Lord. It is your ministry that the Lord has given to you. So don't compare yourself with others, but fulfill it to the very end. Another wonderful example is in Colossians chapter 4, where it says to Archippus, and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it. Maybe we can emphasize several parts of that. It says, take heed to the ministry which you have received. Right? It is your ministry, as it was Timothy's ministry. It is your ministry. Look at that. This is only what matters. But you can also emphasize, look in the ministry which you have received in the Lord. He is the one who gave it to you. There is no greater one who could give it to you, but it is in the Lord. And then you can emphasize, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you might fulfill it. Don't stop halfway. Fulfill it. Bring it to an end. The Lord completed his ministry, so to speak. He completed his work perfectly. And so he will also that we want to follow him in his footsteps. And Hebrews 6:10, it's a very encouraging verse again and again. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown towards his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. You know, is that not great? On the one hand, we have a God who deliberately will remember no more our sins. But on the other hand, we have a God who will not forget all the labor that we have done for him. There might be some things we consider as labor for him that he will not count as such. But still, it is still beautiful that not a single thing will be missing when it comes to our reward of those things that we have done for him. And I hope that this will all encourage you, and that we can all say, and I wish that for everyone, as Paul finished this letter to Timothy and says, "Grace be with you. Amen."